Hana.
Good evening.
Hello. I'm chasing my company away. I'm trying to tell them bye. Well, they came and kissed me, so I guess that's bye.
Hana, are you still there?
Yes, man.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
I think there's two of you, so we can start it, but give me a minute.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Anabakoa Gedula Chemincha Tati Terra Aleph Gimel Yitach Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Ra Kufrei Shayin Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Shvat, the Bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the Tzadi that created the constellation Deli, the water carrier. Some say it's the water bucket. The Tzadi and the Bet together have a gematria of 92, which is 91 plus the Kolel. We know that this number 92 connects to the unity of the spiritual and the physical worlds. Na Gibor Dor Sheyichudcha Levavat Sham Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Far Chem Tacharem Bracha Me Sidkadcha Tamid Gam Len Chetet Resh Tzadik Kaf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvaha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed He Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot. Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. Now that we have brought the energy of creation into our space, we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy using the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emeth Notse chesed lalafim, notse awon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nake. And we're going to now start reading the verses that have the same, the names of the, and of the, some of the previous years. We're going to start with the year 5777, the year of the goat. There are two verses that we read for this year, and we will start with Elishem Yehud. The first verse we will read is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Elishem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bitchilu urchimud chilud chilu urchimud Liyakta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei V'yehuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah V'yehino amadunai Eloheinu alinu ma'asei Yadenu konane alinu ma'asei Yadenu konanehu Sot saduni Katzipor Oyevai Hinam. This verse has five words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into three Hebrew words. Satzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the five words, we're able to permute it into two Hebrew words. Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we read that connects to this year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. We read this verse because it has the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion, concealed within it. And the letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Elohechem Kadavaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. We're now going to be reading two verses that connect to the energy of 5776, which is the year of the pause. And the first of those verses that we read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Hayulimat Willow Yachlu Lehavshit Ed Kol Haolot Vayechaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kelot Hamlacha Yad Yitkachu HaKohanim Ki Halevim Yishrei Levav Lehitkadesh Me'akohanim. The second, this verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of each word, we're able to permute it into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Me Hey 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 A Ka A Re Ka Ha. The second verse that we read for the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai ade ad ki biya yo hey Adonai yo hey wahe tsur olamim. The year we're going to read next is 5775. The energy of this year is swallowing death forever. There's 3 verses that connect to this energy. The first that we read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The next verse we will read is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mikol hamachavoyam, asher yitchabe sham ushavtem, elai el nachon, v'halakti yitchem, v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti, O Tov B'kol Alfei Yehuda. And now we're going to read from one verse from the word of my mistake. We have a third verse, which is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayom. Now we have one verse that we read for the energy of peace in the Middle East. It's the year 5774. The verse is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom le'amil Yisrael chuntati v'shakan tachta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yasifu. Bene avla la anoto kaasher barishona. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, this evening, and tomorrow, which is the 21st of Shavat. Rabbi Yehuda Lieb Chanalis, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Rabbi Mordechai of Neshitz, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Yehonosan Galant. Some say it's Galanti. There's a very long story about Rabbi Galanti on the Hilulot pages. Rabbi Yechiel Meir Lifshitz, and I do recommend that you read that story. Rabbi Yaakov Wiedenfeld, Rabbi Yechiel Yehoshua Rabinowitz, and Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel ben Rabbi Mordechai Breen. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is our Zohar class. The handout, and we'll probably do two sessions today. The handout is available on the Yashem website under the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's the first row, the right-hand column. When you click on that page, it opens to a page with all of the parashas in the year listed. And scroll down to Parasha Yitro, which is the parasha with the giving of the Torah, the gift of the Torah, Matan Torah. When you open up that link, scroll to handout section 2, and we will start with verse 54. And we have already said to L'shem Yichud, Ve'et shenei baneriha amar Rabbi Chiyayo V'ki ben baneriha v'lo banav shel Moshe ela begin te'i ish tadlat avat raihu v'la bala kara lo noraita paneha velo panav amar Rabbi Yose a'agidivnu demoshe hawo mila dikshot paneha v'dai Rabbi Elazar amar ha-moshe hawa Mizdavag Batar Achara Kadisha Ila'a Velav Yekara Tileya Lemikre Lon Banav Chashta Afalgav Divno Chawo Begin Yekara Pihahu atarde is davag peya karalon baneha hakalivatar karalon banav memtet begin dehahu shata dematu hawa moshe mimalel Pishkinta levatar, deit perash benafak, pega bechamu, kedain ketiv beyavo, itro choten Moshe, uvana ve aishto egomer.
translation, and her two sons. Rabbi Chiya said, why are they called her sons and not the sons of Moses? And he answers, because she raised them without her husband. The Torah calls them her sons and not his sons. Rabbi Yose said, even though they were the sons of Moses, they were, by a secret principle, most certainly her sons. Because Rabbi Elazar said, Moses united himself in another holy celestial place. And it would not have been respectful to call them his sons. Now, even though they were his sons, because of the dignity of the place in which he united, which was the Shekhinah, they were here called her sons. Afterwards, they were called his sons. What is the reason? Because when they reached Moses, Moses was talking to the Shekhinah. Later, when he separated from the Shekhinah and went out to meet his father-in-law, then it is written, and Yitro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons. My commentary. This pasuk is giving us different explanations about the reason why the Torah says in one place, her sons, and in another place, his sons. There is also an interesting question as to whether Tzipora converted to become a child of Israel prior to giving birth to Moses and Tzipora's two sons. This question relates to many current discussions about the children of mixed marriages. A mixed marriage is a marriage of a child of Israel and a child of another nation. Pasuk 55. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Elazar, Elazar, Anachametna, Beparsheta, Dade at Shari, Milakid Kadka, Yeot, Fasi Omalav Haki, Vadai Begin Yakara, Pishkinta Azdav Juta. Ila Avdeiz Davag Beyab Moshe Ketivaneha Beitema Behaketiv Beyavo Yitro Choten Moshe Uvanav Veishto El Moshe Kolaihu Kilalacha dav banav, banav de Yitro, de halivatar de ata, Moshe legabeya, awoleya benim. The translation. Rabbi Shimon said, Elazar, Elazar, I see in this portion that the beginning of your interpretation is quite proper, but the ending is not the way you interpret it. Certainly because of the respect of the Shekhinah, who was joined celestially with Moses, it is written her sons. And though it is written, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses. It states his sons, which is inclusive, and the words his sons refers to the sons of Jethro, for after Moses came to him, he had sons. My commentary. This verse is giving us another explanation for why the Torah tells us her sons. It is saying that Moses became a son of Yitro, since a teacher is like a spiritual father. And this is my opinion about this pasuk. Pasuk 56. V'haki hawa v'yakov t'ka wandiyata l'gabeya t'lavan v'shave t'yoreya be'ya ha'woleya b'nin of ha'kamish Moshe k'yewan T'shave diva divreya b'yitrob ha'woleya l'yitrob b'nin v'kol b'teya atai imeya Lemealon techot God paidish kinta Vaitro amar le Moshe Anichotencha Itro baelecha Pishtecha ushne Banecha ima ushne Banecha ketiv, vila ketiv ushnei banecha, benin hawoleya, leitro diktiv, unekeini koten, Moshe alu meir, hatmarim. Uvno shavak im Moshe. And the translation. And so it was with Jacob when he came to Laban and dwelt in his house. Laban had sons. Also here, when Moses dwelt with Jethro, he too had sons. And Jethro brought his whole family, so they might all enter together under the wings of the Shekhinah. And Jethro said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am come to you and your wife and her two sons with her. And it is not written, your two sons. And what do we learn from this? That Jethro had children, as it is written, and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees, and he left his sons with Moses. My commentary. The Zohar is telling us that the children of Moshe, along with the children of Yitro, converted to become a child of Israel. This pasuk is also hinting to the idea that Yitro did not convert. This is a running machloket, an argument for the search of truth. In another parasha, Yitro leaves the camp permanently. This pasuk is telling us that he left all his children with Moshe when he left. Is there any questions as we have reached the end of section 2? And we'll begin section 3, unless there are questions.
Anag?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. Was,
go ahead.
Oh, God, I'm having a Ruby moment.
That's all right. I have elder moments all the time.
Along with Balaam and Job, a counselor of Pharaoh.
Yes.
And it says that, if I'm remembering correctly, that he did convert only after he witnessed the miracles that had been performed.
We will be reading that. I don't know if it's in this next section or one of the others coming up, but it does say that I don't remember if the Zohar said he converted at that point, but it says he recognized the greatness of Hashem, but he did not accept that greatness. He did not verbalize that greatness until he saw that he saw what was happening in Egypt with the plagues. Let me step back even further. Yitro was the most knowledgeable human being on all of the different ways to serve all of the foreign gods. He learned from one source after another until he was the expert in each of these gods. And so when Moses came to him, Moses learned from him. But Moses was always connected to Hashem. He never left that. He was always learning more and more. Because the spiritual system is utilized by evil people and good people. It's utilized by the negative system and the positive system. So Jethro was aware of the plagues in Egypt, and he was also a counselor to Pharaoh. And when Moses had taken the children of Israel out and they'd actually left Egypt, and then God still continued to perform miracles for them, including the splitting of the Yamsuf, the breaking of the limitations, it was only then that Yitro accepted God and verbalized the greatness of God. Because just taking out of Egypt doesn't mean that God was going to stay in the light and stay in the connected to the children of Israel. He could have just left them to the vagaries. But when he saw the splitting of the sea in the desert, and he saw that they were able to defeat Amalek through miracles, he realized that God was still with the children of Israel, still connected. The children of Israel were still connected. And so he then realized that this was the one God, and he confirmed that verbally to all of the people that were looking to him as the leader of their gods, their idol worshiping. So when he came to Moses, that's why Moses said, please stay with us, because you know, he was Moses' teacher of certain spiritual practices. And then Yitro left his children with Moses, but he said, I need to go back to these people and help them understand about the one God. And that's why Yitro left, according to what the Zohar says. Now, there are other sages who do not study the Zohar, but do study other books of Kabbalah, and they have different opinions based on the wording in the Torah, and based on the first and last letters and the words that they create through those first and last letters. So this Mikloche is always, has been there from the beginning, because we're really not clear. But the Zohar says that he did convert, I'm not sure if it says he converted, but he did attest to the greatness of God verbally.
Okay.
And at that point, that may have been the method of conversion. But as time went on and we went through the development of the rabbis and the Talmud, the various teachings, the rituals could have become more complex. We just don't know.
All right. And then
I have to add the proviso, at least this is my opinion from what I have studied.
Okay. My other question is about Zipporah and Moses' first son, Gershom.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember something that I've read about that God became upset with Moses because he had not circumcised the first child, and Zipporah did step in and did it. Does that mean, or is that an implication that she had converted or had accepted Hashem as a true God?
In the Torah, it says that as Moses was taking Zipporah and his newborn baby to Egypt, he had accepted the becoming the Redeemer, and he was anxious to start his task. And Zipporah had given birth to Gershom, and so Moses took Zipporah and they left to go to Egypt. On the way, God showed his distaste, his unhappiness with Moshe, because he's saying you should have waited and you should have circumcised the baby first. So the Torah describes an incident that is very mystical, very little understood, other than whatever the Zohar explains about it. But essentially, it says the Satan, the snake, swallowed Moses up to his waist, from his head to his waist, and then released him, and then swallowed him from his feet to his waist. And Zipporah realized the problem was he hadn't circumcised Gershom, and that was the message. So she went ahead and circumcised Gershom. Does that mean she converted? That's up for you to determine. It could be that she was knowledgeable because she was a daughter of Yitro and would have understood because there are certain idol worshipers that circumcise, but they don't do it properly. They do two of the three steps, or they do one of the three steps. And so we just don't know. And you do not hear spoken, the Torah doesn't really speak about Gershom or Moses' second son. And there's the Midrash that talks about how one of the idea that God threatened to destroy the Jewish nation and make a nation from Moses, and then as the first temple was destroyed and the nation of Judah was marched into Babylon to be slaves, that all of the children, the descendants of Moses, disappeared, and that they live beyond what is called the River of Stones. And the tradition says the River of Stones is not a river of water, but it's a river of rolling rocks that are constantly moving all 6 days of the week, but on Shabbat, they stop and they rest. And that the nation of Moses, all of their children live across that river. And there is a tradition that in the early 1900s, as the children of Israel were starting to repopulate the land of Israel, that two peddlers came to Jerusalem and met the Kabbalists there. and introduce themselves as being the children of Moses and coming from across the river of stones.
Mm.
So again, there's a lot of Midrashim, and are they all correct? And my personal opinion is yes, they are all correct, but not necessarily in this physical world. But they are other dimensions where there are the same or similar physical worlds that these things happen. But that's my opinion, and you won't find many rabbis who agree with that.
Okay.
So I know I've confused you with a lot of information, but I think it's important that you not accept what you read literally, but you start to apply a way of thinking, which is a Kabbalistic way of thinking, questioning all of the details. And that's why I told you so much.
I appreciate it.
Are there any other questions? Well, let's see if we can complete section 3 tonight. Pasuk 57. Vayavo Yitro Choten Moshe Patachu Yamar V'halku Amim Rabim V'yamru Lechu V'na'ale El Har Hashem V'gomer Haikira Ukmu ha-bekama, atar aval zaminin, she'ar amin l'mecha, ukatvta ragleihahu, l'me'al t'chot gad pei, tishkinta l'ku v'na'ale, Kolta one de alma, idlon yirida, the kud shabarihu, manda ita bak, peya, it peya, aliyah. The translation. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came. He opened the discussion with the verse, and many nations shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Hashem. This verse is explained in many places, yet the time will come when the other nations will strive to come under the wings of the Shekhinah. Let us go up. All the idol worshippers of the world pertain to descent, but those who cleave to the Holy One, blessed be He, will achieve an ascent. Therefore it is written, let us go up. My commentary. There is a hint in this pasuk that when someone moves themselves from being an idol worshipper to being a B'nai Noach, a child of Noah, they stop their descent and move to a path of ascent. It's written descent, but it should be ascent. Also, the pasuk relates to a time, hopefully, when whole nations will strive to move away from idol worship. This is part of the prophecies that relate to the coming of Mashiach. Pasuk 58. El Har Hashem, Davraham Diktiv, Asher Yeyamar, Hayom Bahar Hashem, Yeraye Tehavraham, Kare Leyahar, Mahar Hefkera, the Koman Divae, Be'alma uf hatar da kadisha hefkera lekabla lekolman divae bialma el beyat da yakov tekara lehayatar bait tiktiv Ein zekim beit Elohim. The translation. The mountain of Hashem refers to Abraham. As it is written, as it is said to this day, in the mount of Hashem will appear. For Abraham called it a mountain, just as a mountain is abandoned property, free to all who care for it. So is this holy place, the temple, open to all those who desire it on earth. To the house is Jacob, who is called this place, a house. As it is written, this is no other than the house of Elohim. My commentary. On its surface, this verse is hard to understand. What is the purpose of this pasuk? Only when substitutes the Sephirah of Chesed for Abraham does this one begin to make sense. In pasuk 57, the mountain of Hashem is clearly referring to the location of the temple, now referred to as the Temple Mount. Thus, this pasuk is explaining that the Temple Mount is and will remain a location of chesed, loving kindness. How that will look and how that will be implemented is not yet clear in our physical world as of yet. Pasuk 59. Gamar harveva ubait. Agid kola chadarga siliku ledamim dahar lishlishar amim kadi atan leala techot kadpo bait leisrael mehewe Im chon keita bevala bediod ra chad bechad vavo ur hevia alaihu kea eta ima albanim. The translation. Another interpretation, though mountain and house pertain to the same grade, one is higher than the other. A mountain is for the rest of the nations who come to enter under its wings. A house is to the nation of Israel, like a wife to her husband in one household, united in happiness. It adheres to them like a mother over her children. My commentary. This indicates that the third temple will be reserved for the children of Israel only, while the balance of the temple mount will be available for the people of the other nations who have given up idol worship. In my opinion, the children of Israel will be very surprised when they realize a house is never built on the tip of a mountain. And therefore the other nations who give up idol worship will be on a higher spiritual level than the children of Israel. Pasuk 60. Kachatze makiti ata b'yitro v'yavo yitro chotein Moshe Uvana veishto el Moshe v'gomer kewandikiv el Moshe amai kitiv el hamidbar
Elaikara Tikola Lema de Hawa Ate El Hamid Bar Umanihu Har Elohim Tidaihu Atar Legio Legiure Itkaikra Vialda Ketiv El Moshe El Hamid Bar Le Moshe Le Gaira Lon Ula Ala Lon Tichot Kad Pe Shekinta El Hamid Bar Awo Atyan Deihu Hara Elohim Le Mebad Nafshayhu The translation. Come and see what is written here regarding Yitro. And Yitro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses into the wilderness. And he asked, since it is written to Moses, why does the verse add, into the wilderness? And he answers, what is important is what Yitro came to the desert for. And what is it? It is a mountain of Elohim, and it is a place for a stranger to convert. Therefore, it is written to Moses into the wilderness. To Moses, to proselytize them, and bring them under the wings of the Shekhinah. Into the wilderness they would come, for the mountain of Elohim is to proselytize the soul, that is to receive from thence the nefesh of the convert. My commentary. To understand this pasuk, one must understand the information we have about reincarnation. The nefesh of the convert is a concept from reincarnation. It is explained clearly in chapter 3 from our classes on reincarnation. Simply put, all people who do not complete their tikkun in their first incarnation require a nefesh of the convert. Do you, as a student of Kabbalah, realize the idea of a mountain of Elohim and a mountain of Hashem are two different things? This is one of the troubling things about translations. Pasuk 61. And Ruby, just as to continue the conversation about your question,
Yes. Well,
it says in the Zohar that the convert, it says Yitro, or implies Yitro converted, but it's also talking about a spiritual level, because the names of the mountains, it's the mountain of Elohim that relates to the convert. And so that's why the Machlochet is still in place. It's just not clear. Verse 61. Ugin kach kaima Ahu atar biraza Behar de kol mandiate Zake beya Veikre Ger tzedek Vehauk mi ukim na Ger af al gav Tita bak batar Da ila a kadisha Kewan de Shavak Imeya Va'avahu Va'avatu Ker Tzedek Ikre Kiman de Shave Madoreya Va'atar de Layada Mikadmat Dena.
Hannah?
On account of, yes,
Ruby, go ahead.
When you use the word Elohim in the context that you were speaking of before, does that mean that there was some type of judgment or harshness?
It's not necessarily harshness, because sometimes Elohim is on a level of sweetening the judgment. But Elohim always refers to a level of judgment, yes. So the mountain of Hashem represents Chesed. The mountain of Elohim represents Givurah.
May I ask one more question?
Go ahead.
Well, you know, when we spoke about Yithro and Jacob and Job and Bilam, that they were counselors to Pharaoh, and we discussed that, I've read that Job converted, and it's questionable if, as you're telling me, if Yithro did, but we know that Bilam neither repented nor converted.
And actually, Job never converted in the context of becoming a child of Israel. Job was a cousin of Abraham, and that's why he was he was utilized by Hashem, because he had great awe, or really great fear of Hashem. And that's why the whole book of Job never makes any sense to people until you read the Zohar, where it explains what the advice that Job had given to Pharaoh about what to do with the children of Israel.
But he did not want to destroy the children of Israel.
No, but he wanted to put them to harsh labor.
Yes.
And so that is why he was used as a scapegoat when Hashem wanted to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. He turned the Job over to Satan, essentially saying to him, do whatever you want to him, just make sure you don't kill him. And that's why you read in the book of Job all of the horrible things that happened to Job as really being the effect of his own actions by suggesting to Pharaoh that the children of Israel be put to harsh bondage. Plus, there's another area of this discussion. The Zohar explains that Job never gave any tithing or any tzedakah to Satan. And so because of that, his material wealth was taken, along with his children and everything else. If you don't tithe properly, the universe is going to tax it away from you in various ways. In Job's case, it was done through destruction of his property. Shall I continue to read this translation and we'll complete the class?
Yes, please.
So I believe this is Pasuk 61 in the translation, because we have read the Aramaic. On account of this, the location stands as a mystery called Mountain, and everyone who comes there is credited with the title, a convert of righteousness. We have explained that he is called a convert, even though he united on high with the celestial and the holy, because he left his own country and kin. He is called a convert. He is called a convert of righteousness, since he set up his dwelling in a place he did not know before, which is in the Shekhinah, called righteousness. In my commentary, to me this pasuk is clear as written. I am not sure if that is true for all. If this pasuk is not clear, please ask specific questions. Are there any questions? This is the end of the section 3, and will also be the end of our class when we complete all the questions. Saturday at 6 o'clock, we will have a Havdalah and a third meal ritual. At 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Mishpatim. At 10:30 Sunday morning, we will be giving a class on the Shekelim, because a week from this Shabbat is Shabbat Shekelim. And for those of you who know, there's a whole ritual involved that benefits the soul that you can do if you know of a Kabbalistic minion, they do it. And there is other, in Israel, there are ways to make the half shekel donation. And for those who have no other recourse, there is always, I will offer that service to my students. And we'll be discussing that this coming Sunday morning in our 10:30 class, explaining it in more detail. There will not be a class in Sunday afternoon. And next week we will go into our normal schedule. But the following, I believe it's Motzei Shabbat, or it may be Sunday evening. I think it's Sunday evening, which is the 26th, the evening of the 26th of February, is Rosh Chodesh and our Rosh Chodesh connection, because the month of Adar is almost upon us. And when Adar comes in, joy increases. I wish you all a beautiful Shabbat, a wonderful week, and true, true happiness and joy as the joy is increasing. But it's up to you and your decision to allow that to happen. Shalom to all.
Shalom, Hama. And thank you.
You're welcome.